Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the program, American Family Radio is the network. We thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and Steve Jordahl is with us this half hour. Good morning, Steve Jordahl.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was listening a little bit to your spelling championship. You forgot two words, kerfuffle.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's a good one.
And simus.
I've never heard of that.
T-S-I-M-M-I-S.
What is that?
It's Yiddish for a dust-up.
Yiddish for dust-up? How do you say that?
Simus. T-S-M.
Why would I know something that was Yiddish? Why would I know a Yiddish?
It's used in English. It's Yiddish.
Go ahead and say it one more time.
Simus.
That's not angry enough.
No, it isn't. It's not meant.
That doesn't get the point across. If you say what did you say?
A simus.
Yeah, you're not upset.
No, it's a little.
It's not. Call it a dust a up, upset, a hullabaloo.
Yeah.
You got it.
Hullabaloo sounds a little edgy.
Yes, it does.
You know,
hullabaloo. It's three or four syllables.
You're not sure if a punch is coming right
behind
it.
Yes, that's right, Ed. Good point.
Simus.
But a simus,
best
no.
you get with a simus is a
That's
simus.
Why I go into the donut shop and I say I'd like a bear claw with
some
simus on it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, duly noted. You see why I've had as my co-host, Steve?
I do.
See what he brings to the table?
It's very important.
I couldn't do without him.
You suffer.
There's a whole lot of sarcasm in
I know that. I know that on days that you have that you don't have him here, something is lacking. Something is added, of course, with Ray.
It's like my left arm is missing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Boy.
All right, what do you have?
Pegging out on the sarcasm.
What do you
here.
Well, this morning in the Senate Intelligence Committee, they passed Gina Haspel out. They voted by 10-5 to recommend her.
You realize you just said Senate and intelligence.
One of those oxymorons, I think that's called.
Yes, that's it is.
What'd they do now? They passed two out of what?
They voted to recommend Gina Haspel as the CIA chief to the full Senate.
Okay.
Her hearing was going on. In fact, it was a little, at times, it was a little bit contentious. She did fine, when she, and, they voted to, pass her on with recommendation.
So she'll be voted through.
She will be voted through. It looks like it's interesting. I came across this morning, a letter from Rand Paul to Gina Haspel asking Gina Haspel to please lay out and explain whatever the CIA was involved in the Trump-Russia investigation, the allegations that the CIA, FBI, and intelligence community had a mole or a spy inside the Trump campaign. And Rand Paul is asking her to account for it, as if she might have knowledge.
Is that a fact or is that a speculation?
The
mole thing.
It was strongly suggested by the documents that they got from the Justice Department.
Okay. Senator Paul. Well, it's interesting on how you pronounce her last name?
Haspel,
because she's being opposed. It looks like she's going to pass. She's President Trump's pick to head up the CIA to replace Mike Pompeo, who's only been there a year, but was only at the CIA a year, maybe even less. And there was some objection to her, Haspel, on the left and the right. Some of our friends were opposed to.
And the allegation was that she was somehow involved in torture or waterboarding.
That would have been the opposition from the left.
Right.
I think from the
right. Rand Paul had the same.
Yeah, he's.
Same concern. And McCain did too. Yes. So, yes, it was from the left.
Yeah.
But there was also a little bit of controversy because she's the daughter of Eddie Haspel. From Leave It to Beaver.
You see why I need him?
I know.
Sorry. I waited until you guys were through with this important discussion.
Steve.
Eddie Haspel.
Eddie Haspel.
Come on. Now, there's some folks listening that are laughing at that.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That was. Moving on.
All right, we'll be serious.
As we talk about torture and waterboarding, Ed has to interject Eddie Haspel.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so the other thing that's going on in the world is this dust-up, Simmons, war battle at the border of between the West Bank and Israel, Palestinians.
Yeah.
And
isn't it Gaza? Is
Gaza split? Strip. Is, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not the West Bank. It is the Gaza
it's
Strip.
Gaza, yeah.
And so there have been at least 50 Hamas members reportedly killed. And now Erdogan, the president of Turkey, is calling on all Arab nations and Muslim nations to oppose Israel. He wants to unite them.
Well, that's a new one.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of this tactic, Ed?
Of trying to unite the Muslim world against
Israel? novel. I say novel on the part of this Turkey prime minister. Go ahead.
The alliances are a little different than they were in 1967 and 74. Okay. Syria is still very, it's in turmoil, but Egypt has become more or less accepting of Israel and an ally there. Saudi Arabia is
Jordan.
Doing that.
The government
Jordan is
Egypt
friendly.
Told Hamas to scale back some of these protests, in Gaza.
Yeah, I don't think the Turkey's prime minister's call for, I don't think that's going to carry much weight. I think a lot of the Arab world, while they're not in love with Israel or the Jews, they're tired of this stuff with these terrorist groups too. You know what I'm saying?
Because they're living in it. Constant chaos and people dying.
I think if Hamas did not exist, for people who don't know what we're talking about, basically, look at it this way. Chicago has the mob. All right, maybe it doesn't today. I don't know. But I'm talking about, that's
in the 20s.
Yeah, imagine Chicago, the mob. Okay, the mob runs the neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe not officially, they don't have meetings out in public, but everybody knows who runs the neighborhood.
Right.
So City Hall, by the way.
And City Hall. Right. And everybody knows it, even though it's,
police officers on the take.
Everybody knows that. So the mob runs the town behind the scenes. And if they have to, they do it out in the open.
And they run your neighborhood.
They run your neighborhood. So what does everybody do? You don't disagree with the mob publicly, or you know that your house is going to get burned down or your family member is going to get shot. It's going to go bad for you. It's the same way with many of the Palestinians and Hamas. This is my opinion. I haven't written a book on this. This is just my observation and having talked to a lot of
It's human nature.
Arab Palestinians. So the Palestinians who are part of Hamas, they're the mob. And so you may get a majority of the members of the Palestinians who don't agree with these provocative measures against Israel, but they're not going to say anything inside that little Gaza Strip or otherwise, right, because they'll be shot or killed if they disagree with the mob, which is Hamas.
Right.
So I'm just saying that what's happened here is the Gaza Strip is a place that only the Palestinians live in and control. Is it impoverished? Yes. It is. Is it just a bad place with a lot of hopelessness? That is true. But it is a place that's controlled by the Palestinians, that the Israelis kicked the Jews out of, who were living there a few years ago. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They came and got their own people and moved them off that land so that the Palestinians could have
autonomy.
The Strip. And so what's happened now is, I guess based on President Trump moving the embassy to Jerusalem, although these people don't need a reason to get fired up and to get angry and start committing terrorist acts, they move a lot of their people, the Palestinians, to the border, to the fence, right?
Here's a couple things that have happened since we talked
last. To provoke the Israelis.
There's an argument being made that these conflicts at the border have been going on for a couple weeks, and it's more centered around the 70th anniversary of Israel being a state than it is anything that the U.S. did. They will use whatever excuse they can. Right. The other thing we learned is that because of all of the war and stuff that's going on, Israel tried to send tons of aid, first aid, food, blankets, whatever you send to a people that are in need. They tried, and Hamas stopped these trucks at the border, at a border crossing, and refused to let them in.
When was
because
this?
This was just the last couple of days. Because Hamas wants the people to be in despair.
Yes.
That's the way they motivate them. They can blame Israel, but they're stopping the aid coming in. The other thing we learned was that yesterday, Hamas on loudspeakers behind the lines of this battle were telling the people that were going to storm the border, the Israel guards have flown. They've abandoned posts. They're not there. Go, go. Well, they knew that they were there.
Oh, my goodness.
And they sent them anyway, and they were shot down. Get closer, get closer. So now we're hearing, and the press picks up, it's 50 dead, including children and babies.
All right, so that now we get the pictures
right.
that I've seen, we've all seen, with these Palestinian mothers holding dead children.
Now, you kind of got to ask you, who takes a child to a war zone, and why do they take them there?
They had to be if they're not forced to.
They had to be within a couple hundred yards of the border because that's where the conflict is. It's not down at home.
Right.
You're not lobbing missiles into neighborhoods.
Yeah,
right.
But here's what a lot of the liberal news media and those who condemn Israel and the anti-Semitic folks want you to believe. They want you to believe that Israel is indiscriminately firing missiles into Gaza and killing innocent women and children. That's what they want you to That's what these images are the purpose for. The context, as Steve just described it, which is appalling, by the way, that loudspeakers would tell the people that the Israeli soldiers are not there.
Right.
Go ahead, and then they know that they are setting them up to die so that they can get the international public relations out of it. Is anyway. Go ahead.
Bree Payton is the millennial and culture reporter for The Federalist, and she was on Fox and Friends this morning, and she was talking about it.
The Palestinian Authority and Hamas, which totally controls the region, does not care at all about their lives. They're using these people as human cannon fodder, and the members of the media are helping them do that. They're helping them, you know, get these people just slaughtered. And it's really sad and unfortunate and irresponsible of the media to cover it in this way. And, you know, I've been told that often when reporters go into Gaza, Hamas assigns minders to watch what these reporters are doing and make sure that they are seeing what Hamas wants them to see and reporting what Hamas wants them to report.
Yeah.
Well, that's just like what the Soviet Union and communist countries used to do whenever Western reporters would go. And so you get the old idea of the Potemkin village, which might have predated the communists, I don't know. But this whole idea that what the West was being shown was a fake, a fraud, a front. And this is out of the same playbook.
And we saw the same thing. Remember the North Korean ski village?
Yes.
With all the North Koreans in the same colored jacket going around? Because that was the same fraud.
You know, I've thought about this. Why don't the Palestinians, by the way, they're not really wanted by any of their Arab brethren, too. You know, they focus on Israel, but, I mean, they're a people, you know, Egypt's not very welcoming. In terms of, that's their Arab brothers.
Right.
And Saudi Arabia, you know, I've thought about, why don't you just... How much land you got in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
That is unoccupied, where you could set up a whole towns and villages for the Palestinians.
Yeah, a lot of those Palestinians admittedly have been in a tough spot since 1948 when their parents or grandparents were told by the Arabs, leave Israel, we're invading them, you could be hurt.
Most of them went to Jordan, but still a lot of them got caught up in the war.
Right. So, I mean, why don't they make a place for them in these other nations?
How long do you carry a grievance?
Generations.
Where it just becomes, it's just hate for a people because of who they are.
We're seeing it there. We're seeing it here in this country.
Yes.
With different factions of people
but
who
you
are
know
grieved.
What? If you look, there have been surveys done of Arabs living in Israel who were much rather live under the Israeli government than they would under a Muslim government. You read, do the surveys on that. I've talked to people, many of them who live over there.
So live under Assad in Syria
or live in Israel.
Live in Israel.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, Israel allows for religious freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, you have mosques, you have churches, you have synagogues. You go to a dominant Muslim country, they don't allow anything else but mosque. You know, a lot of Muslim dominant countries, they don't allow for churches or synagogues. They may have a token one here or there, but I'm talking about religious freedom as is enjoyed in Israel, for example, or is not enjoyed in other Muslim countries. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Ed, when does the Bible tell us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, do you think?
Well, because the city of Jerusalem and the Jewish people have, I mean, we're talking about the beginning of human covenant, you know, between God and Abraham, and the descendants of Abraham in the natural are the Jews. Jerusalem is considered the eternal capital of the Jewish people. And as a result of the demonic war, continual war against the Jewish people, Jerusalem has often been in the crosshairs of enemies in the natural. So we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, knowing also that peace will only truly come when Jesus Christ returns.
Gotcha. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's well said.
All right, what do you got?
The Mueller probe is officially a year old. It was started a year ago, and the president's lawyers, including Rudy Giuliani, are saying, hey, Mr. Mueller, we have a role model for you. We'd like you to act just like Jim Comey. Now, you know, remember Rudy Giuliani said that reminded Mueller that Comey opened up and then publicly exonerated Hillary Clinton for her private use of an email server, and it took about a year, not counting all the reboots and the she's guilty of all this stuff, but we're not going to charge her things. So says Giuliani, come on, they've had a whole year. We're going to raise the pressure to try to get things over with. It's gone on long enough.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, this has gone on long enough. It is, it's kind of like a creek that overflows its banks. It was supposedly limited to the charge of collusion, which is not actually a crime, and has overflowed and run into all sorts of different areas in the hunt for something criminal that Robert Mueller can use to justify the one-year existence of his team that's also filled with Democrat attorneys.
Yep.
I just got three words for this situation. As my cousin used to say, shut her down.
Shut her down.
Shut her down.
That's not even three words. That's just one word.
Well, apostrophe ER is kind of...
It's one word. Yeah. Huh? Shut her down.
Shut her down.
Yeah.
Shut her down. I don't know which cousin said that, but one of them did. Shut her down. All right. What do you got next?
Returning to the United States for a second, I want to tell the story of a gentleman named Eugene Joseph, who is a black man who went to a Mother's Day lunch at the Cheesecake Factory. He went with his mom and his, I think his wife or his girlfriend, and they had lunch there. But he was wearing a Make America Great Again hat. Listen to what he says happened at the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, well, we were sitting at the table, and my girlfriend's aunt started noticing, and she informed us that, hey, there's a couple of coworkers back there looking at Eugene and making gestures towards him. So I just turned around and looked at them. I didn't say anything. I see that they're staring at me, staring at my girlfriend's family. They're just trying to intimidate us. After I turned around and was looking at my phone, they all started getting behind us, and one of the coworkers was saying, "Man, I'll knock that hat off his head. I'll hit him so hard that knock his hat off." They were clenching their fists, and they were just standing behind me, you know, trying to, like, scare us and stuff. I walked to the restroom with my girlfriend walking into the restroom, and as I was walking back, a whole group of people came out of the kitchen and just started shouting and yelling and just clapping things and saying things towards me as I was walking back to my seat. You know, I just completely ignored it, but Mother's Day was completely ruined, you know, and everybody, it's just sad the outcome, the way everything happened.
Cheesecake Factory has said that two people have been fired over this, but it was obviously more than two people that were a problem. The hatred.
Now, he was an employee?
No, he was a guest.
He was a customer.
Yes.
And the employees of this particular, where was this?
In Miami, Florida.
He had a hat on, Make America Great hat, yep. and they started doing what to him exactly?
They started intimidating him by standing behind him, clenching their fists.
Threatening him.
Oh,
my word.
They were yelling at him. They said that a bunch of people from the kitchen came out when he was walking from the... In fact, he posted a video, which I would have brought sound, but it's not very intelligible sound, of people arguing with police when the police were called.
I thought people on the left, like these folks, were supposed to be tolerant. They're the ones who always brag about being tolerant.
Yes, they do, don't they?
I have heard that.
That's the rumor.
That is the rumor.
They're for diversity.
I'm not sure I've ever seen it actually play out, though.
Okay.
Doesn't seem to.
No, they are for diversity. They are for tolerance.
As long as you agree with them?
As long as you agree with me.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, try doing that when you're married. Sweetie, we are compromising. You are free to agree with me anytime you want. You are free in this marriage.
Is this guy going to get free cheesecake out of this deal or what?
Well, they've offered to meet with him and see what,
who that Cheesecake Factory?
Cheesecake Factory is, but he says he's not ever going back there.
I'd reconsider that. I would take a lot of free food.
That's good food, too. Have you ever been to the Cheesecake Factory?
I wonder.
It's
good food.
You can get a lot of free food out of that deal.
I would
reconsider.
I'd do it, too.
Huh?
And then just go to a different Cheesecake Factory.
That's right.
Make sure it's, give it to his family. Or go and don't put the hat on until you're through eating.
Yeah.
Then
well,
put the hat on.
You know, I'm glad that got some exposure there.
Yes.
Because that needed some.
Probably only because it was recorded on phones. I'm sure that's the only reason why.
Maybe.
Something is done.
Yeah. What else? You got a minute? Right. You got a minute or so.
Yeah. Dateline South Carolina. The sheriff's office there was called and said that there was an animal in the road and they had to take care of it. So they got in their cruisers, went down near the Carolina state line with Georgia Tuesday morning, and there they found a kangaroo.
I'm looking at it right now.
A kangaroo on the road.
In South Carolina.
In South Carolina.
That is why we need a wall.
We do need a tall one so they can't jump over it.
I got to give Dad a high five
there
on
you
that
go.
That was good stuff right there. We need a wall. Build a wall.
Yeah, build a wall. So the ocean's not good enough.
What zoo did this animal escape?
There was a gentleman there that had a license to keep marsupials, a marsupial license, and it had escaped from his care. The police captured it and returned it to him. I don't know if they were
police
boxed
captured it.
Yeah.
Kangaroos can kill you.
They're dangerous.
They can. Big, strong legs.
They use a taser on him or what?
I don't know. How
did they get him?
It didn't say.
A taser.
Huh?
It didn't say.
I'm serious. You've seen these kangaroos.
Oh, they can.
Yeah.
You know, they have animal control. Has those big long sticks with a circle thing. If they get it around his neck, they can keep him away. And I'm sure
I bet that was pretty shocking for whoever drove up on this and see a kangaroo in South Carolina.
Yeah.
South Carolina. Was it South Carolina?
It's, South Carolina, Georgia border.
On the Georgia line.
Well, I'll tell you, though, on a cold day, nothing is better than a very hot bowl of marsupial. So I just ruined it, didn't I?
Yeah, well, I think that was a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10 to end the show with.
Okay. Build a wall!
That was a 10. That was a 10 out of 10 right there.
There you go.
All right, we'll be working with Ed on his material, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
And, see you back here tomorrow, which will be Thursday. So have a great day. Keep listening to AFR. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
And thanks to Fred for his contribution. Thanks for Brent producing the show. And maybe Walker will be back here tomorrow.
He missed a good one, didn't he?
We shall see. Have a great day, everybody.